So hello again. I see many of you are already in Adobe Rooms. I'd like to ask for some updates on the secretariat. Are we quarried? That's one thing. Another thing is on audio only.
Katrina, this is Barrett. As far as I can tell, we're not quarried yet. For two reasons, not say the number of councillors, that's one, and the second thing is, now we are. And we do have one from Latin America. So you're Corin.
So excellent, and nobody is on audio only. Can we start the recording, please? Thank you. The session is being recorded. So, hello everyone. Happy New Year. This is our first meeting this year. I hope that this year will finally bring some peace of mind to everyone, and we will reach agreements on all the open issues, and we will move forward quickly and complete many very important things. So, Happy New Year. I also see that Nacho has joined us. I think that's probably the first time you joined Council Call. At least I do not remember joining before. So in case I missed you in other calls, I'm sorry, but if not, then welcome. Hope that you will also enjoy. We have received two apologies. One is from Byron, it's already noted, and one is from Alejandra. Unfortunately, she cannot join us today. Any other apologies in case we missed anything? If not, let's move forward. Then a minute and actions. We have minutes from our December meeting, and as you remember, everyone was very... But he wanted the minute to be captured very thoroughly. So I hope that you're satisfied. So first we have the meeting minutes with summary, let's say, and then we also have the transcript of special council meeting, which is added as an appendix. I haven't noted any comments, any corrections, so I assume that you're satisfied with the minutes and they can be adopted. We also extended time for your comments for minutes from the meeting we had in November because they were circulated too late, haven't received any comments on that one either, so I assume again those are approved. Then we have action items. As you can see, two action items are completed. One is still going, or it's open issue. As long as we receive any feedback on indications that there's something wrong, then so this is something that needs to be done in time for our meeting in Puerto Rico. So it's ongoing action item. Then we had two inter-meeting council decisions. One was two letters to the board, one on the emojis and one on SID and CCTLDs. I have included the comments from that you supported. One was from here, another from Peter. I hope to send them to the board tomorrow. And then we also approved two members. Dot G, right? U and DJ. So, let's move forward. I see Stephen's question in the the chat window, yeah, they have been sent. Minutes have reference to appendix, and I think it was also sent to you. But Kim, you could clarify if. Okay, so then what do we have? Yeah, next one is agenda item number 4. It's on work track 5. It's a country territory name, so PDP run by the GNS only, we actively participate, as you all remember. We received an update from Annabeth. It can be circulated, so you can see that, first of all, they're discussing terms of reference. What's important there is that clearly there's a disagreement on what constitutes the status quo. Remember, the idea was that if this work track 5 doesn't come up with consensus decision, then we go back to the status quo. We believe that status quo is applicant guidebook 2012. Many people from GNS also believe that it, then the status quo then should be the GNS policy from 2007, which has gives no protection to geographical names at all. And there's a the conclusion is just that terms of reference can be circulated as approved subject to any strong objection. So I see Peter, you have your hand up. Is this related to something to work track 5?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, please.
Hello, Katrina. Thanks.
Peter.
Hello, everyone. Just a quick update of some developments that happened recently after Annabeth's update. Yesterday there was a early morning call where the group tried to define the term geographic name. That was a bit of a painful exercise as people kept on wandering into policy discussions rather than first define the scope. Because without all of us agreeing on what the geographic name is or geographic term, it will be very difficult to ever come to any agreement. So the suggestion was to use the applicant guidebook 2012 as a reference for that, which I think as a center we can definitely support. I think most of the CCTLD community can support that. Again, this is not about policy. This is just defining on what are we going to discuss and which names will eventually need a policy. However, very quickly, this discussion was spinning a bit out of control. And for the last 2 days, people have been discussing two-letter codes, two-character combinations of a number and a letter. Whether they should be discussed as CCTLD territory or they're within the scope of the GNSO. So just to signal that those of you and others in the CC community who are on that list as participants and or as observers, please take note of what's happening there. At the moment, it's not going anywhere, but the tone of the discussions and the way they're currently being held does not seem helpful in strengthening the participants, I think, in their belief that this is ever going to come to a proper conclusion, especially since, as you mentioned, not everybody accepts that the fallback position is the African Guidebook 2012, which some claim is faulty in a way that the procedure that has led to it being accepted by the ICANN board is not in line with ICANN's own policies. So therefore, they refer back to GNSO policy for 2007. Yes, that's about it. We're trying to get the discussions back on track, but this was a development the last couple of hours, so I'm not sure whether this will be successful. I was just enough.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this. update. Mark?
Yes, just as a related point from the PDP retirement, it was noticed during the call last week that this level of discussion within the geographical in WorkTrack 5 was all over the place, and the ISO 3166 standard and related terminology was used, abused, misused, and whatsoever. The people on the RAT, the working group, and both on the working group and on the WorkTrack 5 were informed about it, asked questions, and there was some email exchanges on this topic and the retirement. So whomever is covering both, probably it's a good thing to use and to promote the definitions from the retirement, because they are based on ISO 3166. They all have a copy of it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any other questions or comments on this? If not, then another sub-item under this topic is, as you may remember, we sent a request and letter to DNSO in which we stated our expectations for this. But since we agreed to participate in WorkTrack 5, we set our expectations on how these discussions and output should be handled. You may remember that GAC also sent a letter, and it was even stricter. They requested, they had way stricter requirements for this WorkTrack 5. Then you remember that at the end of November, we received response from GNSO, and it was a response to all three of us, so it's to CISMISO, GAC, and ALAC, in which they tried to address the issues raised in our letters. I must say that GAC is not happy about this response, and they are thinking about response from GNSO, and they asked for our what we are thinking about that. ALAC actually is quite happy with the response, and they did not expect any different responses, because it's clear that WorkTrack 5 needs, according to the bylaws, it's a part of PDP that has already been started some time ago, so the PDP is regulated by the bylaws, so the bylaws clearly explain the process, and it's quite understandable that in this framework, or legal framework, GNSO cannot change the working procedures of PDP middle of the process, and it's clear that they have to finish this PDP according to the bylaws. That's why they cannot suddenly change their work track and make it similar to a cross-community work. It's not. It's a part of the PDP process. I think it's very well good rationale from ALAC, but I'd like to hear your opinion. If you any one of you not anything to say, so I hope you all read the response from GNSO, and so what are your thoughts? The ALAC, for example, believes that if they're not happy with the outcome, they still can object, and clearly that's the right of the citizens as well. And if GAC is not happy, I think that ICANN board will never approve PDP that has such a strong opposition from others. Yep, but I'd like to hear from you if you think that they need more active, proactive steps from seasons will need to be taken. If, well, of course, there's another option. We can wait for some feedback from GAC, and if we see that they have good rationale, provide some reasoning for their disagreement with the way the process goes. So you can always join and write another lesson. I'd like to hear your opinion on current situation. Do you think we need to do anything now? Or maybe we could add it as an item for discussion with GAC during our meeting in Puerto Rico. So we can get some more feedback from them and looking at hearing their feedback, we could provide our view as well. So anyone would like to say anything? Stephen, in the chat window, Stephen supports adding this topic to our meeting with GAC. Anyone would like to say anything? Okay, if not, then maybe currently let's stick with this proposal. Probably also we should discuss this with the GM, so. Oh, in any case, I'm sure that we're going to discuss workshop 5 with the GM, so during our bilateral meeting in Puerto Rico. Okay, if no more questions, no more comments on this agenda item, let's move forward. Next one is about the selection criteria for CISNESO-funded travelers. As you may remember, a guidelines review committee came up with a new guideline, updated guideline on selection of CISNESO-funded travelers. And there we had a list of criteria that travel funding committee should take into account while vetting applications. And it was proposed to ask the travel funding committee to test these criteria and see how they actually work in real life for these the latest round of evaluation of funded travelers. It would be great to hear from travel funding committee, maybe Joke on behalf of the travel funding committee could give us a brief update.
Hi, Katrina, this is Joke. Happy to give a brief update. So when the Travel Fund Committee had to evaluate the applications for ICANN 61, a survey was prepared by the Secretariat, which contained all of the criteria included in the draft revised guideline. And Travel Fund Committee members were invited to answer all the questions in the survey, meaning that they had to evaluate all the criteria for each of the applicants and then also propose a distribution of the slots among the applicants. From the experience of the CCNSO Secretariat, this went smooth. No issues were reported. In the background documents that were circulated before this call, there is some further information on how the survey was conducted and a link to the survey results as well, with a recommendation to adopt the revised draft guideline for the CCNSO travel funding. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions to the travel funding committee? Well, if not, we have a draft action item in front of us. And the idea is that we thank the travel committee for the report and request that the Guidelines Review Committee to take the results into account and finalize the draft travel guideline by the next council meeting for adoption by the council. Yeah, but first we need to finalize it and need to publish for comments from community, and then we can present it to the council. So any objections to this action item? None. Seems that we can move forward. Then agenda item number 6. So, as you may remember, last meeting we discussed setting a meeting agenda committee to shape our agenda for our meetings with guests. And but we would like to propose to guests to have a co-chair of this agenda committee who could work closely with the peers from GACS to ensure that we have an interesting and interesting agenda and enough time to discuss those topics that we set in the agenda. I'd like to propose that we have, co-chair, we have a council member with a good understanding of the way the GAC operates. If we have a former GAC member, it would be excellent. If not, then any volunteer would do. So, any immediate volunteer? Anyone would like to work closely with Jack? Peter, yes, please. If you volunteer or you want to say something.
Hi, Katrina. Looking at this, and especially what has been put between brackets, I see my name popping up. So just a quick question to you. Have any idea of the workloads that comes with it? Is this mainly a couple of email exchanges and Adobe calls to get things arranged, or do you anticipate a lot more of work? Because if it's manageable, I would like to volunteer for this. But however, I need to be realistic about my availability. So if it is really is time consuming, I won't be able to give our members and the council any good service. So I just need to need a bit more upfront what the workload is involved. Thanks.
Yes, understood. Thank you. Well, I'd like to say it, that it requires 4 hours a day and consultations with all GAC members, but no, definitely it's not the case. I don't think it's more than, as you mentioned, just to exchange of, a couple of emails to find out what GAC is interested in and try to align it with our possibilities and our interests. So I hope it definitely will not take too much time. And so thank you for volunteering. I think that everybody's happy to volunteer. If you see after icon 61, if you see that it takes too much time, you can step down any time, and we can try to find other volunteers. At least then we will see clearly what is required. But I really don't think we will have. You need to work too hard on that one. Peter, yes.
Okay, thanks. That's clear to me. So, yes, and I like your suggestion. So, yes, I would like to follow this. And, well, if it would prove to be too much loaded, As you mentioned, then I can still inform the council and we can look out for alternatives. But from what I hear you saying, this should not be the case. So happy to volunteer for this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Peter. Great. Let's move forward then. It's, as you may remember, we still have actually a sickness or gas liaison working group. As long as I remember myself in context of sickness, so of course I never heard of this group being active, and it's clear that it was it has been dormant since 2010. Since we agree to restart our work or cooperation with GAC from a blank page, then probably it's time to close this liaison working group, and you see a decision in front of you. It's the CISINSO Council formally closes GAC CISINSO liaison working group. And request the Secretariat to take all steps necessary. And of course, we thank all the former members of this group. Okay, anyone would like to move? Okay, Stephen moved, thank you. Demi, I hope, a bit too late, so Demi seconded. Anyone against? No. Anyone abstains? No. So all in favor, I hope we are still quorate, unless we lost somebody. I hope it's not the case. So, great. Decision approved. And for the Secretariat, please note it as an action item that you have to take all the steps. So, thank you. Next agenda item is fitness organizational review. We're back to that time of the year when we, again, have to think about CISINSO organizational review, which means that we need to appoint working parties. As you remember, the review has been deferred from mid this year, and now been requested to conduct a voluntary internal review. Say that the Guidelines Review Committee is already working on this issue. And I hope that we'll have something to present. According to the process, as you may remember from a year ago, we need to appoint a working party. A year ago, we were thinking about counselors. We had counselors and maybe some other volunteers, but definitely the core was counselors. This time, probably it's proposed to have another approach. We ask GRC members of GRC to be part of to be members on this working party. Probably ask other volunteers from the community who would like to participate in the meeting. Internally and also more actively participate in this process of official meeting, so to speak. Okay, anyone would like to move? Demon moves, seconders. Demi, thank you. Moved by Stephen, seconded by Demi. Thanks. Anyone would like to start a discussion on this one? So the idea is that we ask GRC to participate in the working party, and we ask Secretariat to send a call for volunteers to the CC PLD community, maybe CC PLD community, not just CC some members, maybe somebody non-member would like to participate in the working party, so that we get some more members to this working party. Stephen, please.
Greetings. A couple of questions. Do you have a sense of regards to timing when this is going to seriously get underway, given that we have to put out a call for volunteers, et cetera, et cetera? Second question is, how big do you anticipate this working group to be in terms of optimal size?
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Stephen. First, about the timing of the review, I think it's more or less the same as timing we had a year ago, which means that it was starts around May, and then there are these interviews during a meeting in Panama, and then another set of discussions in Barcelona. And as you remember, this working party, they had to provide feedback to documents prepared by external independent review. Speaking about the size, no, we haven't thought about the size. If I haven't, would be good to have some regional participation there, so that we have participants from all regions that we have at the CISNE. So I'd say we need at least one per region. Two would be good, three maybe even better. But first, let's see how many volunteers we have. Probably we need to define requirements for these volunteers. Maybe we do not have any specific requirements. A good understanding on the business would be an asset, but at the same time, if somebody who is not a member would like to participate, maybe that's also a good opportunity to show that we are inclusive. We do not distinguish citizens or members from non-members. Yeah, I'm not sure it's an answer to your question, Stephen, but that's what it is. Let's run a call and see if we get any volunteers. But it would be good not to have all from one or two regions. Okay. So anyone against the resolution? No. Anyone abstain? No. Approved. Let's move forward. We have, as you may remember, we changed the name of SOP Working Group to SOP Committee. And this is already next item, yes. So we asked the members of the SOP Working Group to reconfirm their commitment to participate in the SOPC. We got reconfirmed, and we also have one new. So we received one new volunteer, Abdallah, volunteered to participate in the work of SOPC. That's excellent. So committee also asks the council to start the process to seek for additional volunteers. Good, we already have one, inshallah. I think we could already, we have this draft resolution. Two notes here. First, I think we should note that Stephen is from .as. That's one thing. Another thing, I think we can already add Abdallah as a member. So, anyone? Okay. Sorry, he reconfirmed he already was on the list. So he reconfirmed his participation. Yes. Anyone would like to move? Peter, move. Stephen seconded. Anyone would like to say something? No? Then let's proceed to the voting. Anyone against? No? Anyone abstain? No? So, approved unanimously. Thank you. Let's move forward. Oh, it's a hot topic. Two things. First, SSR2. I already tried to send a brief update to the council. Meanwhile, we have a new development, well, relatively new development. SOAC chairs have calls every week. Used to have them. Those were used to be called monthly calls, and not that every month that they took place, maybe every third or fourth month. But now we have it called every week, and we try to discuss the way forward for the SSR2. And last week we also had a call with the OEC committee of the ICANN board. They wanted to know how the board could help us to restart the group as soon as possible. So the current plan is that, I also mentioned that in my email, that the first is that we look for additional volunteers. As I have already identified a few who put their names forward. GNSO is working on, they have a committee that looks at the skills matrix filled in by members of SSR2, and they try to identify gaps and search and look for more members, how to fill this the gap. Another thing is that at the end of this month, GNSO Council will have a meeting and they might come up with a letter or some document with respect to their position around all this, all the happenings, so all the situation around the SSR2. So the idea is that if we do restart SSR2, we should give some more support to them. We try to address all those issues that have been identified during the survey. Almost all members of SSR2 seem they feel in the survey that chairs prepared for them, and this helps to identify some of the problems. And so the idea is to restart when we restart the group, so that we do not go back to initial, that we go level higher, additional volunteers. We ask those who do not want to be on the team to step down, and couple of people stepped down. I spoke to one of our members appointed by us, and he thought that, yes, maybe we also could look at the list of initial volunteers that we had and see if anyone, any of them would like to be on the team now. So probably Fitnessov could also propose a name or two. Yeah, this is something for you to think about. We definitely will not do not have time to run a call for volunteers and do a thorough analysis of applications. Well, first because to be honest, it's not quite clear how long it might take to restart SSR2, if we run our process, so it might extend the restart for too long, perhaps. I'm not saying that we are any close to restarting. I'm trying to say that if we have this full circle of this call that we usually have, it might be problematic. But again, I'm not saying that we wouldn't make it in the time frame, but I'm just a little bit worried that if we start our process, it might take too long. I really would not want that Fitnessov as the active stopper for restart of SSR2. I think our members that we appointed is they are willing to continue, but they really would like to this group to be restarted as soon as possible, because otherwise they start other projects and will not have any wish to continue. At the same time, they really wish to see any changes, any positive changes. You may know there were some proposals for cross-community sessions in Puerto Rico, and one of them was lessons learned from SSR2, I think it won't be supported by SOACs because, first, we really don't know if the situation around SSR2 will be resolved by Puerto Rico. That's one. Another thing is, even if it is, probably it's too early to draw any conclusions or formulate lessons learned. And therefore, this topic as cross-community discussion will be postponed for Barcelona. So there will be no cross-community session on SSR2 in Puerto Rico. Yeah, well, it's that's an update from my side. First, any questions, any comments? So what do you think about us looking at the initial slate of applications that we had and attempt to identify those who might be proposed by CC and SO as additional members to the team? That's one. I see some comments. Do you hear me? Okay, no. Luckily, that's only Peter. As I know, there's a heavy storm in that part of the world, in the Netherlands and in the Belgium, too. Maybe that's interferes with Peter's. Oh, and Germany, too. Okay, so hopefully nothing happened to Peter's internet connectivity. Okay, so any comments? Anyone, any questions? Again, as I already mentioned several times before, not only today, this is clearly an uncharted territory, and we chairs have just try to find reasonable ways out of that situation and to ensure that it doesn't happen in the future, and just to make sure that this particular review moves forward. But it's not easy, I must tell you. Not because chair disagreement, of course, it's really difficult to find have good ideas on the way forward. So let's do it this way then. We look at the initial slate. We see who is there on our list. If you want to propose them also for consideration by the chairs, because according to the bylaws, those are chairs who have to agree on the final slate that meets all the requirements, but chairs always go back to their respective communities as so they see it and look for guidance from their community. So really appreciate any guidance from you, how to move forward. If you agree, then let's look at the volunteers and let's see what we can do. And we'll get back to you on the mailing list. Okay, that's one thing. Next thing is about the RDS who is to review. Again, as you remember, we decided not to participate and wait for some clarity around the scope. If we can look at the applications from volunteers and then decide whether they want to participate or not. Must tell you that it was a year ago or so significant time period has passed since the work group started, this review team started discussions around their scope. As you may remember, one of the comments during our bilateral meeting with GNSO, previous ICANN meeting, the group might not be very happy to get volunteers so late in the game. So probably if we still want to appoint somebody, then we should act really quickly. Probably even then they will not be happy that somebody joined so late. So there you can see questions for discussion. First, should we participate? Well, we just rely, and I must say that review team is working very good and moving forward slowly but steadily. So there are no worries, at least I don't have any worries that this working group could be halted or anything. On the other hand, this who is review is a never-ending process, at least it looks at it is. So, first, should they participate? Have all our concerns that we mentioned in our letter that we sent to the board, have they been addressed? If we intend to participate, should we nominate? Probably those candidates who originally put their names forward are not available anymore. It was really more than a year ago now. If they are not available, should we look for other candidates? How long this might take, and so on and so on. So there are many different things to discuss, to consider here. Risks and everything. So, anyone would like to say something?
Uh,
No. Should I take it as that the council thinks that probably we should not appoint people? If you want to say something, then you can just raise your hand. Not right. Okay, Stephen believes that probably we should let others do the job. Stephen, please.
Yeah, I say that because I just don't see where they're going to go with this until this whole GDPR stuff has been sorted. And I feel we should reserve our volunteer energy for things that are closer to home for us than this. I really am hesitant to commit the CCNSO to participate in this at this time. Thanks.
Thank you. And answering Debbie's question, I'm not sure they have already finalized the terms of reference. They definitely were very close to sending the terms of reference to the board, but I must admit I'm not sure. But they move forward. Yes, they're still talking. Yeah, Nigel, please.
I find myself in pretty much in agreement with Stephen on this one.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, okay, Nigel, please lower your hand if that's... We can leave it like this at the moment and not point anyone. Yeah, that's one of the possible ways forward. Okay, can we move to the next agenda item then? Nigel, please lower your hand unless you want to say something else. Okay, thank you. Next is operational standards for specific reviews. Yeah, this is something that we pointed out as an issue from the very beginning. We believe that operating standards should be in place before we start any specific reviews. They were not. That's one of the possible approaches. You could use experience gained from running specific reviews to feed it into the document. Not sure it's not the case, not much to feed into. But as you could see from the materials provided to you before the call, the Guidelines Review Committee prepared the draft for your consideration. Initially, public comments were supposed to close the public comments period by 15 January. Luckily, it has been extended until 2nd February. Therefore, please look at the document that was circulated on Monday as part of the package. This is the Guidelines Review Committee prepared it to be submitted by the CCNSO Council. We do not have time to get feedback from everyone for the CCNSO community. Therefore, in the document, everywhere clearly states that this document is the view of the Council. Please have a look at it and waiting for your comments by 20th February. January. That's wrong. Yeah, January. So that we can we have time to add and improve the document if you spot something that needs to be added. And this is a draft agenda, draft action item. So we provide a comment by 20th January. Then final text proposed for adoption by 29 January, and we send this statement by the time when public comment period closes. If it sounds okay to you, let's move forward. Next thing is around the EPSRP. Now we have a plan, implementation plan from Microsoft, and the idea is I'm going to ask the CCNSO and ESSAC to reestablish their point of working party to assist with provide some comments to this implementation. As you remember from the CCNSO, we had two members of the working party, and two were also appointed by ESSAC, and we had HERO and we had BAFA, both active members of EPSRP working group who know everything around the IDNs and process and everything. BAFA agreed to, noted that she cannot participate in this working party, so now we have only HERO who agrees to be support the working party, but is not does not have enough time to dedicate to lead the effort. So we need another one. It would be two volunteers. The idea is to look for more volunteers from those who participated in the work of EPSRP working group previously. So, therefore, we have this draft resolution here. Anyone would like to move? Hero moved. Thank you. Stephen seconded, thank you. So the draft resolution is that we arrange to the working party and mandate the chair to seek two volunteers, each chair. I think in this case, it's not the working party's chair, but the council chair. That's the way I read it. But we need two volunteers that could provide feedback and comments on the implementation details for the amended final implementation plan for IDN TCTLD fast-track process. So anyone, any comments? Anyone would like to comment? Questions? If no, can we vote on the draft resolution? Anyone against? No. Anyone abstains? No, then approved. We can move forward with that one. Now we close to updates. BDP and retirement. So progress update on the progress. Yeah, Nigel, please.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Update before the substantive thing. Neither Stephen or I were able to attend the last teleconference. We do have the notes from it. Work is progressing. We have some just about terminology, and we're also having, as you know, a discussion about a replacement for me as chairman of the group. Now, unlike the membership of council, I'm not automatically disqualified from being chair, but as you know from the email I sent, I think it's only right that we have a council member as chair of the policy development working group. We had some discussions in the working group, and as you know, we recommended that council consider appointing Stephen as a replacement for me. And really, at this point, I need to hand it back to you to take that suggestion forward.
Yes, thank you. If no more potential update on the progress, then we can move to. Oh yeah, I see Stephen in the chat window. He noted that scenario documents are being developed. The removal from assigned categories is about to be circulated within the working group. Nigel, please mute your mic. With some noise and lower your hand. Thank you. So soon this document will be circulated within the working group. And the work plan is under discussion as well. Good. So good progress there. As you heard, Nigel would like to step down from the position of chair of this PDP working group. And there's an agreement working group that Stephen would take over. I assume that Stephen agrees to do that. Replace Nigel as the chair of this working group. And so we have anyone would like to move? Nigel moves. I assume that Debbie seconds. Thank you. So we have a decision following the nomination of the working group member, the City Council appoints Stephen Dierhake as chair of the City Council Policy Development Process Working Group no later than by 15 March. And we appoint I don't know if that's fine, Stephen and Nigel, working with me, set this date so much forward. But perhaps I think it's reasonable that Nigel can help Stephen to take all the things, I'm sure that Stephen is already very well on track with that, but still. With new duties and probably need some time for them to work together. Okay. No. So anyone would like to say anything? No later than by or no later than 15 March? Or just say... on 15 March. Okay, Margarita needs to go. I will talk for 8 if she leaves. Okay, anyone against decision? Anyone abstains? Okay, Stephen abstains. And we worded as not no later than by, on 15 March. So everything must be, the transition must be completed by March 15 when Stephen starts his tenure. Okay, I see that everyone is in favor. Let's move forward. And then another email from Nigel. Yes, Nigel, please.
Okay, thank you, Katrina. This one is a little bit more prescribed by the rules and by the bylaws than the previous one. As was discussed in the Husting question and answer at the last phase, a board candidate cannot simultaneously take up a seat on the board and also serve on the council. This means that technically, at the very latest, I should be stepping down from the CCNSO Council at the end of the Barcelona meeting. I have, however, thought long and hard about this, and I think it would be quite convenient and quite a good thing for council, again, if we get somebody encouraged and on board as soon as that is practical. Now, I'm not walking away from council. What I'm saying is that let's put the place in, put the process in place to elect my replacement, and when that happens, we have the opportunity to have a face-to-face at an ICANN meeting, and then a vote afterwards if there's more than one candidate. And I think that the time, and this is my suggestion, it's not something that have to happen in this order, but my suggestion might be that if we can manage it, we could do a face-to-face of candidates in Puerto Rico, and the elected candidate could take their seat at the end of Puerto Rico. So I would serve until the end of Puerto Rico. But I'm happy to be persuaded either way, to go longer or shorter, depending on what the needs of council are. So having said that, I'm interested to hear the views of colleagues on that proposal.
Yeah, thank you, Nigel, for this quick update. What I want to say is that, before I give the floor to Debbie and others who would like to say something, this means that this has to be a special council election. Usually it's done, I think in the current guideline, or we already approved the new guideline, is that we need to have a vacant seat on the council, and then we can run special election, which means that first you need to step down, and the second, then we can officially start the process. That's one thing. Another thing is that, of course, from administrative point of view, it would have been easier to have special elections at the same time as normal elections. But since this is not an option, Nigel is willing to start the process earlier. It would be good to have longer time span between votes, between this regular election is going to be in autumn and a special election, which means that, yes, we need to have it somewhere soon, yes, somewhere around meeting in Puerto Rico. I see Peter's suggestions in the chat, but before I address those, Debbie, please.
Thanks, Katrina. Not specifically related to Nigel, but related in that I'm still not totally aware of what my position is going to be like following Puerto Rico. You're all aware of the changes that have happened in the .nz space, and I'm technically now on gardening leave. I had my last day in the office on the 12th of January. However, I am still going to APTLD, and I am still going to be in Puerto Rico. But beyond that, my status is unclear. I spoke to Yoko, and I'm keen to continue for as long as I can, as long as the council's happy to have me continue. And I know that Jordan wants to have a chat to me about ongoing involvement, but I'm just putting a little span on the works because it could well be that there could potentially be another special election if I get to the position where I feel it's only appropriate for me to actually stand down from council, because I will only do this as long as I'm fully engaged in the CC and can actually truly contribute to the work of the council.
Yes, thank you very much, Debbie. And I see in the chat window comments from Peter. So he proposes to, given that ICANN 61 is less than 2 months away, maybe better targets for Panama. First, 2 months is quite enough to have to run this nomination period. And then we could have our Q&A session with candidates in Puerto Rico. That's one. Second is that I had another point that the panel meeting is going to be the small meeting, maybe not enough people in there for Q&A session. Another point that I wanted to stress is that early February, the center, the region organization of European region, where we're going to have the special elections, we have a general assembly. And this is an excellent point to raise some awareness and advertise for volunteers to get try to convince people to send the election. So my understanding. Well, at least before I tried to check the guideline before the meeting. But yes, normally we have special elections if we have vacancies. We cannot have never had special elections when where the seats are filled. Yeah, so that means that we have to wait for Nigel's resignation, and then we can trigger the process. As I mentioned, I wanted to check. I didn't find the guideline too quickly on the but distracted. But I think according to the process, we first have vacancies and then we have special elections. So, but in any case, early February, we should try to advertise the things. Yes, Stephen, I think, at least I think you're right. Yeah, Nigel, please. Nigel cannot hear you.
Sorry, I thought you called for Stephen.
Sorry, could you repeat, please?
Yes, I thought you were asking Stephen to speak. I misunderstood what you said. No, I agree with what Stephen's just written, actually. I think it is the notification of a resignation letter that allows you to start the process, not the waiting until the resignation takes effect, because simply that would mean you would always have a vacant seat on council for a period of maybe 2 or 3 months, and that's very undesirable. I think we've already got one vacant seat on council. We don't really want to have two. But I don't think we can read the bylaws on the fly in the middle of a meeting. I think I have to go away and read that to see if your interpretation is forced upon us or whether it's just something that's the way it's always done in the past. What I'm trying to do here is, as I say, to time things in such a way that the work of council is disrupted the least. I think I hope you understand that.
Yep, thank you. So any other comments? If not, then let's look at it in the mailing. Let's discuss it further. Okay, then Icon 61. We have a draft action item for this special elections. Jokke, please.
Hi, Katrina, this is Jokke. I'm happy to give a short update on what will happen from the CCNSO perspective at ICANN 61. Kim, could you please upload the block schedule? Thank you very much. So as you will be able to see, we will start with the CCNSO schedule on Sunday. whereas the official meeting started already on Saturday, the 10th of March. So on Sunday, there will be some working group meetings. For the council, it's particularly important to note that the prep meeting and the council workshop are scheduled around lunchtime. So they take place on Sunday. And then there is still question about whether the joint meeting with ALAC is going to happen on Sunday evening or is even going to happen at ICANN 61 or not, because the chair of ALAC has a conflict at that point in time. So it might be that we don't have a joint meeting with ALAC in Puerto Rico. The CCNSO members meeting, on the other hand, take place on Tuesday and Wednesday, whereas on Monday we will have Tech Day, starting after the opening ceremony, going on until 16:45 in the afternoon. The CCNSO cocktail is tentatively scheduled for the Tuesday in Puerto Rico. I will now pull up the members' meeting agenda, or maybe Kim, you can do so, if you would be so kind to do so.
Yes, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Sorry, Katrina, would you like me to go over the CCNSO members' meeting agenda as well?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask if there are any questions on the overall schedule.
Okay.
Any questions? No, yeah, then Joker, please proceed.
So I'm passing in the chat a link to the CCNSO members' meeting agenda. It's a simplified version of what you see here, displayed in the Adobe Connect room. So as usual, we'll start with the introduction and the working group updates, then move on to CCNSO as decisional participant. The joint meetings with the ICANN board and the GAC have been confirmed in the times indicated in this schedule. Then in the afternoon of day one, we will have the PTI session and a session on trends and challenges in the domain name industry. There's currently some discussion on whether this last half an hour will keep the current name for this session or whether we will change this. So moving on to day two, we will start again at 9 in the morning with a session on the impact of natural disasters on CCTLDs, registrars and registrants, and the mitigation of the impact. The idea is to involve CCTLDs with experience in this matter and also the regional organizations that agree to contribute to the session together with ALAC. The policy session, on the other hand, covers both the PDP retirement working group update and an update by Annabeth and Nick on work track 5 on geographical names and also discussion on the use of emoji in domain names. The accountability session is split up in two parts. First, an initial discussion around the rules of the CCNSO, and then secondly, we will cover Workstream 2 and whether the proposed changes are indeed supported by the CCNSO. Peter Vergoten kindly volunteered to chair again the legal session, and this session will focus again on GDPR and will have a very practical implementation for CCTLDs. So we intend to promote this session as much as we can, also with other SOs and ACs, because CCTLDs have a leading role in this aspect and have something that is valuable to share with others as well in this respect. For the CCTLD news session that is currently scheduled during the last block on Wednesday, depending on the number of volunteers, We already have 5 volunteers so far. We might switch this with the legal session, so depending on how things evolve. The call for volunteers for presenters during the CCTLD news session is still open until tomorrow, close of business. And then we'll end the Wednesday with the CCNSO council meeting. On Thursday during the morning, there will be the PDP working group meeting, and that will actually end our sessions at ICANN 61. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? OK, Okay, if no, let's go back to our agenda. As you know, now we have all the updates, and as always, we have updates. You see all the Teachings of Comfort meetings listed here. There will be some, we'll have to think about the questions that you'd like to discuss with the ICON board, with the GAC, and GNSO. We also don't have it, have those questions yet. Let's do written updates, unless somebody wants to speak. Here you can see also a list of our next meetings, and then we have any other business. And I have one thing for any other business. Kim, could you please open the... as I already mentioned, we had a call with NOMCOM, and we discussed our requirements that we have for NOMCOM appointees to the Teachings of Comfort. What we did here, we gave some additional background information on the development, on Teachings of Council, how well balanced it basically is, and used almost the same requirements that we had before, just probably more a little bit more detailed. It would be great to send this document to the NOMCOM as soon as possible. Therefore, hence the question. First, any comments on this document? Need more time? Can I ask you then to submit your comment by the end of the week so that we can send the document early next week? It states nothing new. It uses the same wording that we do not want members who are directly or indirectly associated with a CCTLD manager and added some skills that would be beneficial, like general knowledge about ICANN, experience with non-for-profit organizations, and so on and so on. So any needed questions or comments on this one? If you agree with the document, then we can. Is it okay if I send it to NOMCOM tomorrow, or you want need more time to look at the document? Okay, probably a few days won't change anything. So by the end of the week, by Sunday evening, maybe you can have a look and then let me know if there's anything you'd like to add, or change language or something. Okay, so on Monday I'm going to send it to the NOMCOM. Sounds okay? I will circulate the document again and ask you to either object, or if you do not respond, then I assume that you are fine with the document. Okay. I think that unless somebody else has anything to say under AOB, I see we have updates from Yangam, and we have updates from Yangam on IG working group, and we have updates from Stephen on his work on EC administration. I see that Nigel has a hand up. Nigel, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. I'll just very quick, and I'll follow this up by email afterwards. Just looking about the vacancy that we currently have on CNSO Council for a NOMCOM appointed member, the bylaws appear to require the NOMCOM to fill that. I suspect they're not going to. I'll send you a copy of the relevant flaws and what I think it means. But I just want to note that in passing. That was kind of on the last item, and now we can move on to AOB. Thanks.
Sorry, I got disconnected for a second, even though I do not have a firm outside, but maybe I kicked the Ethernet cable. So that, if you could do it quickly, thank you.
Yeah, very quickly. My construction, my interpretation of the bylaws about the casual vacancy situation for a non-com appointed CCNSO council member is that non-com must appoint a replacement. But I think that I'm not sure what they're going to do about that. I have a suspicion they were just going to leave it until next year. But I think the bylaws say they have to. Just thought I'd mention that in passing while you're talking to them.
Okay. Thank you. Another item with respect to any other business, we have this version of FAQ document from GAC, and this is something that we all have to look at and send a reminder. It's a really important thing. Okay, so if there are no other business, then can we close the meeting? So then, thank you very much for joining the call. Again, Happy New Year. See you on the mailing list, and definitely we all get prepared for a face-to-face meeting in Puerto Rico. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Bye, all.